Welcome to the NBA Coast to Coast podcast brought to you by thelions.com. Coming to you from the West Coast, Josh Lander, joined by Nate Weitzer. He's on the East Coast, and we're rolling along in the playoffs here. Three games on Thursday night after just two there on Wednesday. We've got best bets here in this video. Also got player props up in a separate video as well, as we're going to be doing each and every day that we've got postseason action. So continue to follow along and subscribe to that page. Also want you to head to thelines.com and use everything we have up on the site right now to help you with these bets you're making this postseason. Nate, let's go ahead and jump into your first best bet. We're talking about my Knickerbockers back in Philly in this one.
Very low team total for the Knicks. So, I mean, that's the look here, over 98.5. And I think you can just parlay that. I mean, DraftKings is juicing it down to like minus 110, though, on the 98.5. So I'm fine just taking that. But I think you can also take Brunson 25 plus points. His core bet is 28.5. And I think he's due for some positive regression. You parlay those two together, you get about plus 120. Nice little boost. I mean, I don't think the Knicks are scoring 100 if Brunson continues to struggle like he has in these first two games. I know they've crept over it here, but that required some good three-point variance and some other things, including a very high free throw rate for both teams in these first two games. But, I mean, they actually regressed from the three-point line, right? You only shot 33% in game two. But down the stretch, they had the fourth highest three-point percentage on the road, 39%. The Knicks actually were a much higher scoring team post-All-Star break on the road. 8 more points per game, played at a pace, 2 possessions faster. The Sixers play a little faster, a little more efficient with Embiid, and a lot more trips to the free throw line. Their last 7 home games, 30 free throw attempts with Embiid. That equals 120 points per game for them. That equals 111 given up. So, I mean, you can take the over for the game, I think. Just you're looking at the Sixers to come out fast in the first quarter. Role players are going to be playing better, hitting more shots. So I'm not necessarily sure that the Knicks are going to cover this 5, because I think that the Sixers are going to play very well and get their points. But I just think they're going to play a little faster, not as well defensively, the Knicks, away from the Garden, and therefore they're going to match points with Brunson, you know, finally getting on track this series. And so let's look at his stuff. I mean, first two in this series, 29% from the floor, 94 offensive rating. That's not the guy who was like, you know, a first team all NBA player post All-Star break for sure. But we saw this against Cleveland, where he kind of warmed into the series and figured out how they were defending him last year. He shot 39%. The team shot 39% those first two at Cleveland. Granted, they were going back home in that series, and now they're hitting the road, but I don't think it really matters for Brunson. He shot 53% in games 3 and 4 after he figured that out. The team shot 46% and averaged just over 100 in a rock fight series, not as pretty. But, I mean, Brunson going on the road, I'm not worried about it, because his last 11 in the regular season, he averaged 38 a game on the road, including like a 61-point performance. I mean, his shot making on these pull-ups is so low, so much lower than it was in the regular season, 28% in these two versus 51% on the road and 50% in general post All-Star break. Like, he's just going to start hitting these shots. It is somewhat about how Philly has been able to defend him and get him off his spots, but I think he's too good to be held below 25 again.
Yeah, 25 maybe. The 30 points has been really high for him, to be honest, in this series. And I mean, you know, Philly's good in some of a lot of the spots that of what Jalen Brunson wants to do. So it makes sense that they'd be able to at least limit him in these playoffs. But I suppose there's some shot making to it as well with JB. But for this game here, like I'll move my bet up here about this one to talk about it first, because I think Philly wins this game. I think Philly pulls it out probably by 5. I've got a first quarter bet that I'm putting on it, and I'm good with both these bets separately because I think they're both worth it. But I you can also parlay them for a nice plus 124, and that's Philly to win the first quarter by 2 points or more, and Maxey to get 5 plus points. And his points prop for the first quarter is at 5.5, and I get it, to be honest, because he's actually coming out before Embiid in that first quarter. So like maybe you prefer Joel's first quarter points here, which are much higher than 5.5. But I thought 5.5 was too low for Maxey, who's taking a number, you know, he's taking at this point 5 shots in the first quarter. And like there's a little bit of, you know, he hit 2 threes in each of the first two games. So there's something to that in the first quarter. So there's something to that being the reason that he's gone over so comfortably in this series so far. But I mean, 8 points per game, 5 field goal attempts, and then, you know, 3 of the 3.5 of those are 3. So he is taking, you know, 3 to 4 threes per quarter so far in these first two, but overall too, like this is something he's done very consistently on the season as well, averaging about the 9 minutes in the first quarter that he's averaged in the first couple. So the 9.2 minutes on the season, when he's at that, he's still at about a 72% hit rate for going over 5 points. And he's also got a couple free throw attempts per game as well in the first quarter on the season. So I'm super fine with the fact that, you know, this is still 5.5. If this was up at like 7.5 and I needed him to hit 4 baskets, then I might be like, okay, now you're losing me on it. But at 5.5, we still get great juice at like +105 for that bet alone. But like I said, nice. If you just take the 5+ on DraftKings and you parlay that with them to win this quarter, like they're coming out swinging. I like them to win the game. I mean, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to see them lead half and full, or really pretty much the whole game outside of like, let's say there's, you know, the Knicks get like some early buckets right away and to pull ahead. But I think they're going to probably be winning most of the game in this one, to be honest. I'm not going to like get into referees and calls. I'm just really going to talk about the way that the trends go once you're an 0-2 team down at home, third game of the playoffs. Plus, if you look at the way that this is split, there's some really good numbers that about the way that this is split between seeds, right? And so like if you're a 4-5 seed and you're down 0-2 going back to, like you're the 5 seed, you're down 0-2 going back home, you're a lot more likely to win that next game. You have like a 77% hit rate. Do you really think that the Sixers are a 7 seed? Right, like this is basically a 4-5 matchup at worst, and maybe like if Joel was healthy, it's like a, you know, 3-6 matchup in favor of Philly. So like overall, like the way that they've been playing in the first half hasn't really been the issue. They came out so once, but for the other couple games here, they are covering in the first quarter, winning 29-21 in that first quarter. After like Embiid's coming out and just completely dominating. The Knicks have a 93.5 offensive rating in that first quarter. The 76ers have a 131.1 offensive rating. So that net is obviously like solidly in favor of Philly. And I don't know why that would really come to a close here. Like they've been doing it. I'm just expecting them to do it again. I don't need to dive too much further into it. They're not winning the rebound match and they're winning pretty much everything else. So I still think they're good to win this game and the first quarter for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the human element of it, too, that the NBA admitted they basically robbed them of that game with two missed calls on Tyrese Maxey. He was going to get honored as MIP before the game. They should come out, you know, with some momentum behind those two things. I mean, neither here nor there. I don't think Tyrese Maxey is the most improved player, but let's just move on to Cleveland at Orlando. And total's only 200 in this game, and I mean, unders are always in play based on what we've seen, but I'm gonna take the Donnie Mitchell stat leaders market here. Three made threes leader for the game, +150. It's been bet down a tiny bit, but I mean, it just seems more likely than not that his only real competition is Darius Garland for that. And so maybe sprinkle a quarter unit on him to lead the game in points as well, which is also even money. And I was looking at that for the first two games in Cleveland. It was like -110, -120. I don't understand. You know, I mean, we're getting such better odds here just because it's on the road. And we saw him struggle on the road against the Knicks. So this is, you know, not, I mean, to a degree, like the Magic are great defense, but this is Donnie, like, wrestling his own demons, it seems like, right? He had this quote about like, oh, I'm not judged on the first round, like this is about like conference finals, and like he's trying to, the whole Cavs team, at least through two games, is trying to fix that narrative that they were just absolutely bullied out of the playoffs last year, and they've been playing really well. But Donnie, I mean, he led both games in scoring despite not even shooting well, right? I mean, he's only 5-for-18 from three, only 30% on pull-up threes. He was 40% on the season on catch and shoots, and he has not shot well on those either. I mean, you look at when he was the main focal point for Utah on the road in the playoffs. Like, so before he joined Cleveland, he hit 4.2 threes at 40% his last six on the road there, shot 10. And it's the volume there. Like, if he's going to get up 10 attempts, like, who else in this game could you possibly imagine taking 10 threes? Like, the Magic are not a three-point shooting team. As we know, they had the lowest percentage of points by three all season. They had the fifth lowest attempts, and 88% of those were assisted, and they have not been getting any assists in this series. There's 17 assists to 14 turnovers. They're shooting 23% from deep, and their leader on threes per game, Jalen Suggs, is dealing with a knee injury now. So, like, how effective is he going to be? Cleveland is, you know, both these teams are just top five, limiting threes, limiting assists. So you're going to have to be able to just get your own shot. And that's what Donnie can do. He's basically the only guy in the series who can just create a three out of nothing. I mean, if Suggs is hampered at all, that's a big boon for him too, to be able to create on the perimeter. And I just think he's going to answer the bell here after, you know, he was just awful in down the stretch in that Knicks series. He did open 6-for-16 in game one, though. And I don't think we have to read too much into home road stuff here when back in Donnie.
Yep. Yeah. Everything is right there. I don't know if there's going to be a total, any kind of shift in the way that this offense has been sort of distributed in the usage and who has the ball. Like it's Donnie's world, man. And honestly, Darius has been like really good and really efficient and playing off of Donnie Mitchell really well. And Donnie didn't have a very good game too, efficiency wise, that's for sure. And he went under his points total there, but the threes, yes. The game leader in points, yes. Like, come on, man. I mean, Paolo is point Paolo, but they've got one of the better defenses on him with their focus entirely on him. You take away Paolo, I have zero confidence in the rest of these players. That's going to continue to be the focal point. Now, he might have a pretty good game coming out the gate, and Franz came out strong starting that game yesterday, but the threes, I like it, the plus 155. I think you just bet the Donnie to lead the game in scoring for the rest of this series. It's such a big edge for him that at plus 105, hit that every time. You're going to win money in this series for sure, right? Like that's an easy call. 24 shots that he took. I don't know that Paolo's capable of taking 24 shots with the way that the Magic play offense, and he'll be defended. And similarly, like those aren't going to be threes. So like Donnie's going to be shooting for more points. And yeah, this he's the best offensive player in this series, and best scorer in this series without question. And that's all I need to know. So let me finish off best bets with the same premise of what I took with Philly similarly, but I'm going for the first half here for the Lake Show. And in part, not just the first quarter, which I considered, but I like the full half here because then I get a few more minutes from LeBron too. Like he's been coming out a little bit earlier in the first quarter, and it's really been AD's end of the first quarter. It's been like him really dominating things for the last like 3 to 4 minutes of that first quarter. And then in the second quarter, LeBron comes in for the last like 7 to 8 minutes, about 8 minutes, and is in there to like make sure that they have they're strong going into the half. And that's what I've noticed about the subs. Shout out popcornmachine.net. Really good site to see the game flow, where you can see who's subbing in when and for whom and stuff like that. And that's exactly what you see with LeBron and the Lakers, is like when he comes in, the pace picks up at the end of that second quarter, and he comes in to really do damage at that point. Like I said, make sure that they at least are in this thing at the half, if not winning, because they've won both the first quarters. They've won both the first halves. In the first quarter, they've won by an average 30-24. Second quarter, 29-26. So they're going into this halftime with an average lead of like 8 points. They haven't won a game yet. This is the same old sad song, man. This is 6 games in a row in the playoffs for the Lake Show, but I'm still going to take them to at least do it again in the first half. I don't know why that would simmer down. If you look at AD in the first quarter, 11 and a half minutes per game, 8 points per game. And this is the first two here. And this has been the trend for them as well over the course of basically the last like month of the season with LeBron and AD, is like AD's got this in the first quarter, et cetera, et cetera. And for Joker, he's playing most of the first quarter as well. So it's not like he's out and you can take advantage of that. But the bench play for the Nuggets has technically been better, but you're getting more minutes from the starters for the Lakers. Like there's zero trust in Gabe Vincent to figure it out this late in the season at this point. It's been pretty clear. And it's just a lot of Rui, Austin Reeves alongside those two dudes. And then, you know, pick your poison for the fifth guy out there with AD. And it's either Rui or a couple of like Torian Prince, essentially. And that's who's getting the minutes. And that's why like maybe bench points aren't there for them. But I still love them to be able to keep playing their dudes in the first half. And maybe, you know, maybe there is something to like winding down in the second half for this team. And I'm not saying stamina wise or anything like that, but in Denver, it definitely was a bit of that, right? Like stamina wise. And now I wouldn't be surprised if you see LeBron play a few more minutes in the first and second quarter in this one than you did in the first two, because like I said, the second half has been Denver's just, I mean, the Lakers, what we saw this the other day, the Lakers have like a minus 20 or minus 15 net rating in the second half of games against the Nuggets in the second half in playoff games the last two seasons now, which is like 6 games. Like there's something too in being in Denver and that being the case, but here you could get a few more minutes from LeBron. They've both been super efficient, and then D'Lo is a huge X factor, and I like D'Lo at home way more. He averaged 3 points more per game in his own building than than he did on the road. And that was a big part of it. And it was really, it wasn't minutes for D'Lo. It was just efficiency. He's just got more confidence at home. And I think he's just going to keep building off of what we saw in game one, where he finally started hitting threes. I really wish I would have backed him. I was like, look, this is it. This is the one for D'Lo. I'm going to keep hitting him to succeed. And it was, obviously, he just came out firing threes. And once he saw that first one go in, you were like, oh yeah, this is going to be D'Lo's time a little bit. And I think that's going to be the case here at the end of the first and into the second quarter as well, where he's really dominated the opening of the second quarter. Even with his struggles in the first game, he got two of his six field goals made in the second quarter there in the beginning part of that. And so I'm still riding with him to kind of be able to take on the backups for this Nuggets team and really handle that at that point. Because it's, like I said, it's starters for the Lakers in the beginning of the second quarter versus backups for the Nuggets. And that's the time for the Lakers to shine, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, if this is like a microcosm of the way this series has gone, the series going back several years, like the Nuggets are probably fine even dropping this game and like just rope-a-doping the Lakers and being like, you can even get up in game four and then we'll just like rip your heart out. And so, I mean, it's the same look we had for game two, which was actually Nuggets to win the fourth quarter, is just say like Lakers win the first half again. But then here come the Nuggets like out executing them down the stretch. Interesting that like LeBron's line for the first quarter is so much lower than AD, 4.5 yeah. points versus 8.5. And he's plus 850 to lead the game in first quarter points here. Just because he played only 9 minutes in the last game in the first quarter. He played the whole first quarter in game one. Also, if you look at the elimination game, game four of the conference finals, 21 points in 12 minutes when you know all the chips are on the table for LeBron. So I mean, for 8.5 to 1, I think that might be worth a sprinkle if you're going to take an angle here. Because, I mean, he's also they were asking for more free throws. They're going to be very aggressive from the jump and probably going to get a few of those whistles.
Do you know what AD is, by the way?
AD's plus 170 behind Jokic as well, who, you know, sometimes just really eases into games and does not score in the first quarter.
Yeah. Yeah. I think maybe there's some thought process to like Jokic on the road. He does tend to shoot more on the road, assist more at home. But once it's the playoffs, it's a crapshoot. We're going to end this video with me asking you who should be most improved player of the year.
I would say J-Dub personally.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's backed up by how good he was last night in the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, just two-way player, you know, really improving from year one to two. Maxi improved, but it was just very clearly like, you know, a usage and touches situation where Harden's gone and he just gets more run.
Yeah, it's the dumbest award. Let's be very clear. It's so subjective. Like if we could just put a little criteria on it of like, hey, this dude was already good. And if you increase your shots by 7 per game, then you're not eligible or something like that. That might help this award a little bit to your point. But Nate, let's go ahead and get into your first NBA play a prop for today.
Mr. Philly, the vet, Kyle Lowry, over 10.5 points is even points and assists. Excuse me. I mean, 7.5 points is fine. 2.5 assists is juiced up, but I like putting them together and getting even money here because he's playing 36 minutes so far in this series. He's being tasked with either nagging Brunson or camping out in the lane to throw his timing off and draw some charges. And I mean, we saw even last year with Miami in that Knicks series, he averaged 12 and 5.7 assists in 29 minutes. So the minutes have gone up here. He's obviously a playoff veteran. I mean, the last 3 years in the playoffs, averaged 9 points, 4.5 assists. Again, just 27 minutes. We're going up here. He's been, maybe there's some shooting regression here, but 50% on catch and shoot threes is probably more the effect of like Joel Embiid just being in there, right? I mean, and you get open looks and he's willing to cash out. I think he's probably going to shoot better at home. Again, the Philly native, but I mean, just all the role players are probably going to be playing better here in a desperate situation. And after that frustrating end to game two, he's also made 55 passes per game in these 36 minutes, 7.5 potential assists, and only 2.5 have resulted in assists. So if the other role players, again, are going to hit these shots that he's swinging to them, assists are going up. Again, the home road splits, he averaged 5 assists, 7.5 points, shot 44% from deep in Philly after being acquired, was plus 46 at home and minus 57 on the road. And if you want another narrative, you know, he's playing his little Nova Bros, Hart, DiVincenzo, Brunson, all like came to that school after him. He did have 11-5 in just 25 minutes, his first home game against this squad, and then 2 week games at MSG, you know, with Philly just couldn't score without Embiid. So I just think Embiid being in there allows all these other guys to fill in where they can, Batum, Lowry, I expect them to have a good game shooting the ball and facilitating.
Yeah. And if there was a prop for like charges or some sort of like hustle, annoying play, I'd take the over on that as well. I hate when I'm rooting for the team playing Kyle Lowry in the playoffs. I hate it. Whether for money purposes or because I love the Knicks, he's just a gamer, dude. And yeah, I think he's a good go-to. It was very clear, very quick that Nick Nurse was like, yo, I trust this dude on the floor in these key situations. He's in the damn starting lineup now, and he's like 50 years old or whatever. So yeah, this makes complete sense. He's never going to stop. As long as Kyle Lowry's in the playoffs, I'm going to take him to outperform his probably like innate abilities, to be honest. So that's my Kyle Lowry take. But let's move on to more Joel Embiid. I'm just going to take him in the first quarter. You can still get an 8.5, dog. Come on. Like, this should probably be 10.5. To be honest with you, he's averaging 13.5 in the first quarter against this game in this series so far, taking 10 and 9 field goal attempts respectively. Also getting 4 free throw attempts, also shooting 3 threes a first quarter so far, also taking 9 threes per game so far in this series. And it's very clear that might be a good bet as well. By the way, the juice is gone for you to take an over on his threes in general. But if you take a half a three in the first, you're getting really good plus money. If you take over 1.5 threes made in this, or if you take over 2.5 threes made, now you're talking about some pretty cool ladder stuff. But 9 three-point attempts from a dude who clearly keeps landing on his knee wrong and wants it. Like, I think the shots are going to be going up for him from a little bit further away. But he's been wet, I mean, super wet from everything 15 and feet and in as well, with a 70% field goal percentage, 78% in the first quarter, by the way. This is something he does all season, too. Like, this is a low number. On the season, he's averaging 11.4 points per game in the first quarter. That's when he gets at least 8 minutes in the first quarter. I could have gone higher than that, right? In the 8 minutes though that he's in the first quarter, we're talking about going over in 15 of 16 games, averaging 11.5 points per game with just 8 minutes. Like, and in the games where on the regular season where he averages, or where you filter it to go, okay, he played at least 8 minutes, he's averaging 9.7 minutes, still taking basically the same amount of shots and scoring the same amount, getting to the free throw line the same amount. Like, dude's a beast in the first quarter. He comes out and just owns you and does everything that maybe his body can't effectively do for 42 straight minutes, but it can certainly do it for 12 straight with a couple breaks in there as well, obviously. So I'm going to just keep going back to that. Like I said, he's averaging 10 field goal attempts when he plays at least 8, which is basically on par for this series so far as well. 14.6 points per game in those 16 games, in the first quarter, in those 16 games where he played at least 8 minutes. And now he's played 12 in the first two. I expect that to happen again. I'm fine with a ladder up to 10 plus. You can get 12 plus on DraftKings as well. It's just what he keeps doing. And I don't see any reason that this would dwindle. I said this in the other bet too, like Tyrese Maxey's a great bet at 5.5 points, but he is coming out at the 9 minute mark in the first quarter. That's the rotations at this point. And in part because Mr. Big Booty Kyle Lowry is in there for the first quarter to keep that thing going with Joel, right? And I don't think D'Anthony Melton's coming back. And in fact, it's one of those things where like I would leave D'Anthony Melton off of too much playing time and maybe try to ease him back in, but be totally fine with Lowry and Joel. And at that point, Lowry probably a little bit more likely to assist when he's playing with JoJo, as he's always looking for him. And they run that two-man game, pick the post, and then, you know, back out to Lowry if he needs an outlet, et cetera, et cetera. So Joel's probably going to have at least 12 points in this first quarter is my guess. And I'm very, very happy and confident in over 8.5 points.
Yeah, well, it is up to 9.5, at least on FanDuel, because somebody set an incorrect line when this has just been a cash cow, as we did hit it in game two. This is just when Embiid comes out, when he's warm, when he can play without, you know, having all the complications that come with his body later in the game. He's also only -115 to lead the game in scoring. And I don't think Maxey's going to outscore him in this spot. And Brunson, while we think, like, can bounce back, like, is he really going to score 31 plus where Embiid is projected to go? So I think, yeah, backing him to just get buckets here from the jump is a good call. Yeah. So I got one more here. I got Paolo under 4.5 turnovers. Okay. Let's figure it out, young man. I mean, the juice has swung where here it's now like -150 for him to have 5 turnovers. And I know he's had 15 in Cleveland as he got used to the playoffs, and, you know, not just being the man in the regular season, but being the man in the playoffs is a whole different animal. And I think there's going to be some film study here with the 2 days off and, you know, adjusting to the fact that Cleveland's just kind of building a wall against him. And like, look, you can't go into this and then make a bad decision. Like, you have to be prepared. and maybe like use some different speeds, etc. He did figure it out against a lot of pack-it-in defenses in the regular season, like down the stretch against Milwaukee, Chicago, Minnesota. He didn't have five turnovers. The only ones I could find really is the Clippers forced him into seven, and like just hats off to Ty Lue. He probably did a lot of tricky stuff there. And like Utah and Toronto, he had like a ton of turnovers, probably because he's like, I can do whatever I want. And then he wound up, you know, making a few mistakes. But I mean, his last two in the regular season against Cleveland, three turnovers per game. There's some regression here. Like when he drives, he's only having a 27% pass rate in this series, 13% turnover rate. At home on the season, 35% pass rate, 7% turnover rate. So he is making better decisions in the regular season. Maybe he was pressing a little bit because nobody else could hit a shot. And he's like, I can't trust it to kick it out to, you know, whoever is over right now. But yeah, I mean, those guys, again, role players will be better at home, desperate team. And there's some regression here in terms of like these loose balls actually being turnovers. The Cavs have recovered a league high 10.5 loose balls per game in these first two. The 62% of the loose balls versus Orlando getting 36%. Like, more desperate team, younger, scrappier team at home. They're going to grab some of those. Cavs actually have the fourth fewest deflections, though, in the playoffs, and they've only drawn two charges. So it's not like they're just baiting Paolo into a ton of charges or deflecting all of his passes. Like, there's just some positive regression in terms of not turning the ball over, on top of the fact that I think he'll make some adjustments as he gets used to this playoff stuff.
Yep. I dig it. I mean, figured out young man for sure. I dig everything you're saying, though. Like, once he comes back home, I think this is a really smart way to back Paolo. Like, I just think the this is the one game where you'll notice if you see best bets, I like a couple, you know, like first half or the team down 2-0 or some early stuff or the team's down 2-0. This ain't one of them, as you'll notice. Like, I think the Magic have a decent shot at staying in this game and doing all that stuff, but like, this is the one that scares me the most. But so it's my main point saying that is like, I don't think that like Paolo's counting stats are necessarily just going to start going straight up just because they're back at home right now. I think there's too much matchup between these two teams and the way that Cleveland can defend. You know, Paolo is better at scoring against this Cleveland team maybe than like a Franz. But my main point is this is a sharp play to back Paolo without having to rely on him to like go over some decently high props at this point against a really good Cavs defense for what he wants to do. So let me close it out here with a Cav and talk about DG the PG. Big fan of that guy on this show. But he has been taking sort of a secondary role to Donnie Mitchell. And as a result, we've gotten his points prop down to 15.5. This thing opened in the series at 17.5. It was still 16.5 very consistently once Donnie Mitchell came back from injury. And now we get a little point premium that we get to use to our advantage. And I'm going to take that at 15.5 because he's been so efficient on the shots he has been taking. Just add a little bit of volume here, dude. And we go over. He's bumped up against this number twice now, 15 and 14 points in the first two games. If you think this is going to be a little bit closer, because the first game was over in the third quarter, it was really over at half. The Magic made a little comeback in the second quarter, and then it was just dunzo in the third. And then you've also got the if you think this is gonna be closer, the second game was fine. I mean, they made a comeback, but it was still, they were never really in that game, if we're being honest. It was always 12 to 16 points that their deficit was at. And I think there's a lot more likelihood that they're a little bit, you know, closer in this game. So DG's minutes have been, you know, about like 31, 34. It hasn't been like huge, crazy, you know, playoff starter minutes. But I think that if they're down a bit more, they're going to need him. Caris LeVert hasn't been quite as good this series yet either. Not saying it's just a two-game sample size, but I do think they want Darius in there when they need the point guard in there a bit more. But the shot should also be there a bit more for him. He only took 11 field goals in the first two. But if you look at the three previous that he played, or two previous this year with Donnie Mitchell against the Magic, he took 24 of 19 shots in those games. So I would imagine that at least, you know, with first of all, Jalen Suggs being a little bit hobbled, he's still going to be on Donnie Mitchell. You'll get some Gary Harris on Darius Garland, but then you also get those Darius Garland backup minutes against Cole Anthony and some Markel Fultz, to be honest, to be fair. Like, Markel Fultz is also the one on him a little bit more, but that hasn't mattered. Like I said, in this series where he's averaging 20 points per game against this team earlier in the year, and that's with one for 18, then one with 22 and one around 20 as well. So he's consistently going over this. And when you give him the 31 minutes plus that he's averaged that he got so far in this series, at least now you're talking about 19 points a game on the season. You're talking about 16 field goal attempts. So it's really where I'm starting and ending this whole dispute with him, is just like the field goal attempts, 11 in the first two, but I expect that to be closer between 13 to 16. And I wouldn't be, I expect 15 field goals is really what I'm saying, field goal attempts from him. So for him to get 16 points on 15 field goal attempts, you throw in that he's taking about 5 threes as well, and getting like three free throws, not much there, but like at the very least, the threes and the volume of shots, then yeah, I'm going to take Darius Garland to get 16 points in those situations consistently and hit that what I would expect to be at least 2/3 of the time. So that's why I think this is a good bet here for him to get 16 points.
Yeah, I mean, this is my concern with the Donny Mitchell stat leader props that I brought up in Best Bets, is that Garland, you know, Garland's just being left open much more by this Orlando team. Like, they're going to dare him to be the guy to beat them. He goes 4 for 7 in game 2, very clutch from deep. And there's some, so, you know, he kind of was slumping on catch and shoots all year, but maybe he's starting to find it now. So, I mean, I think he has a chance to step up as they pay more and more attention to Donnie. So 16 points is not a huge number here for a Cavs team that I don't expect Evan Mobley and Jared Allen to bully as much on the road, right, and for the Magic to give it up in the paint. So, yeah, I mean, I think these two guards are going to have to be big here if they want to win game 3 on road.
Yeah, that was another part of all this, is like there's been so many shots funneled to the bigs for this team, and in part because they're getting a lot of offensive rebounds and Donnie's missing. But you already saw that dwindle down a bit in game 2, mostly Jared Allen at this point, instead of like Allen and Mobley getting the field goal attempts, I think is a big part of it. Strus has been cold, and honestly, I still don't like his points. I do like his rebounds, even though they've gone up more. But yeah, I think Darius is going to be called upon a bit more in this one. You can't possibly call on Donnie anymore than he's already been called upon. So yeah, I think Darius steps it up a bit more. And to your point, like, yeah, the open shots and the catch and shoot and all that kind of stuff. So that is all the time, though, that we have for you in Playa Props. Continue to follow along. Check out Best Bets, as we've got those up alongside these Playa Props each and every day moving forward with these playoff games. Until we see you next, happy betting.